Let's now move on to report on. Let's now move on to the regular session agenda and number one.
And item one, review and approval of the October 19, 2021 regular session meeting minutes.
Okay, we've had a chance to review the are there any comments or questions regarding these minutes? Second. All right, I have a motion to approve Commissioner Beasley and second by Commissioner Newell. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those nay?
Agenda item 2. Presentation and possible discussion of the town fiscal year 2021-2022 financial update through September 2021.
All right, I believe Ms. Gomez.
of the budget. That sounds low, but that is a reflection of the timing of our payrolls through budget. So in July, we did have one payroll that was accrued back to last fiscal year. So those expenditures are trending as expected for the fiscal year. Operations and maintenance, we are at actuals of $12.4 million through September, which, as I mentioned last month, the big chunk of that is the $10 million payment that we have already made to our public safety pension retirement system towards our unfunded liability. Capital, not a whole lot of spending there quite yet, but that's typical for just the first quarter of the fiscal year. We are still expecting those expenditures to come in on budget at year end. The bulk of that budget includes some westward look improvements, some IT needs that we've budgeted, as well as some parks and recreation capital improvements. Our transfers out are just under $950,000 through September, or about 13% of budget. Those actuals reflect a transfer to debt service. We are actually going to see a year-end estimate come in a bit under budget, about $1.2 million, and that is due to the fact that when we built the budget, we had an estimate on the timeline for the pension obligation bonds, the debt service on those bonds. We did budget a full payment for that, but we actually will not have a principal payment due in the current fiscal year. So that budget variance is due to only having an interest payment this year. In total, our general fund expenditures are just about $18.9 million through September. That's about 31% of budget. And again, the variance, as I spoke to earlier, is the debt service transfer for the pension obligation bonds. Here's the chart for the general fund through September. You can see revenues of $9.4 million compared to last fiscal year of $15.6 million. I'd mentioned last month the big difference there is the CARES funding that we had received last fiscal year. I think it came in August of last year, and so that's really the bulk of the difference there that you see year over year. For the expenditures, current fiscal year, $18.9 million compared to $18.2 million last year. That big difference is the $10 million PSPRS payment. So as a reminder, we did budget a use of fund balance of $14.2 million. As a result of the variances for both the additional ARPA funds that we know we're going to receive, as well as the reduced debt service transfer, we're actually looking like we're going to use fund balance more like $10.8 million for the fiscal year compared to the $14.2 million. That's going to land us just under $25 million for the estimated ending fund balance in the general fund, which is about 46% of our budgeted expenditures, and that exceeds our council's 25% policy by about $11.4 million. Moving on to the highway fund, revenues, not a whole lot to note there. I don't believe we've made any updates to the year-end estimate since last month, so things still looking good there. Our HERF revenues are trending well. We are at about 26.4% of budget for the HERF revenues, the state-shared revenues. Licenses and permits is a smaller category. We've collected just over 7,000 in that revenue source. And then some all other revenues, and we've got a slight overage factored into to those revenues for some insurance recoveries in the highway fund. In total, highway fund revenues are about $966,000 in actuals through September, which is about 26.5% of the budget. And we are looking to land about on budget in the fund, just a slight overage attributable to those insurance recoveries. Moving on to the expenditures for the highway fund, personnel, the actuals are going to trend similar to the general fund because of the timing of the payrolls again, but we are expecting to come in on budget with those by fiscal year end. Operations and maintenance, we are at just about $78,000-$79,000 in actuals through September, which is about 12.7% of budget. Just as a reminder, some of the larger line items in that category includes striping, field supplies, some electricity costs, and then our maintenance costs for traffic signals. Capital, we are at actuals of about $319,000 through September. The bulk of that spending is due to the Lambert Lane Overlay CIP project. The rest of the remaining budget is our payment preservation program, so we will start to see those actuals tick up with the fall and winter treatments. In total, highway fund expenditures are at about $637,000, or 15.6% of budget through September, and there's no budget variance noted at this time for the highway fund. Here's our chart for the highway fund through September. Things pretty flat to last fiscal year in comparison to revenues. We've got $1 million in actuals this fiscal year compared to about $900,000 last fiscal year. The expenditures are just a smidge higher, $600,000 compared to about $300,000 last fiscal year. That's primarily the Lambert Lane CIP project. As a reminder, we did budget a use of fund balance in the highway fund of about $400,000, and that's going to land us at about $800,000 for an ending fund balance in that fund. Moving on to the community center fund, things looking positive there as well. On the contracted side of the house, we are at about $770,000 in revenues, which is just over 21% of their budget. Those revenues are trending well and are still expected to end the year on budget. The town operating revenues, I discussed these last month. We're seeing some strong recovery in our recreation program revenues from the camps and other classes held at the community center. Our actuals through September are just over $320,000, or about 46% of budget. We do already have a slight budget overage factored into that category for those strong revenues that we're seeing currently on the town side. And then the other revenues, budget of $3.1 million. That includes our half-cent sales tax revenues, our $125,000 total for HOA contributions, and then interest income and some other miscellaneous revenues. We are at about $750,000 in actuals through September, or 24.3% of budget, and we are expecting to end the year on budget in those funding sources. In total, for the Community Center Fund through September, we are just over $1.8 million in actuals, or just under 25% of revenues, so things really looking positive there. Our only budget variance noted at this time is the recreation program revenue that I touched on earlier, that overage about $50,000 projected at this time. And then the Community Center Fund expenditures, contracted operating expenditures, we are at about $1.1 million in actuals through September, which is about 23.7% of budget. We are still expecting to end the fiscal year on budget at year end. No variance noted at this time for contracted. On the town operating side, we are at actuals of about $300,000 through September, or 27.3% of budget. Those expenditure sources are trending as expected at this time. Compared to budget, it does appear to be a little high, but again, we had the camp revenues there in the summer, and so typically the Community Center Fund does see pretty large size payrolls for the first couple months of the fiscal year, so that's typical. But we'll continue to watch those as we progress through the fiscal year. Capital outlay, the bulk of that budget of $132,500 is the ongoing tennis court improvements that we had budgeted in there. Our actuals are just under $22,000, or about 16.2% of budget. We do still have the year-end estimate equal to budget at this point in time, but we'll continue to watch the tennis court improvements because we are going to be tapping the Parks and Recreation bonds to do the full refurbishment of the tennis courts. So as we progress through that, we may end up updating this year-end estimate to account for that. Transfers out through September, we are at about $168,000 to $169,000 in actuals, or 9% of budget. Those actuals reflect a transfer for debt service. And similar situation as to the general fund, but a different series. So we do also have a budget variance for transfers out from the Community Center Fund for debt service. And this is because our newly issued Parks and Recreation bonds, the final debt service schedule, actually does not have a first debt service payment due until next fiscal year. We had budgeted a transfer of about $1.7 million in debt service from the Community Center Fund. So we're going to hold off on that transfer until next fiscal year when that debt service payment is due. In total for the Community Center Fund expenditures, we are at actuals of just over $1.6 million through September, which is about 20.6% of budget. And again, the only budget variance on the expenditure side of the things, the side of things noted at this time is the $1.7 million in the transfer for the debt service payment on the Parks and Rec bonds. And finally, the chart for the Community Center Fund, revenues of $1.8 million for the current fiscal year compared to $1.4 million of last fiscal year. That really is all the town operating revenues, the strong performance we're seeing there, as well as the growth in local sales tax. Expenditures, $1.6 million in actuals compared to $1.5 million last fiscal year, so about flat there. As a reminder, we did budget a use of a fund balance in the Community Center Fund of about $400,000. Because of the debt service payment of $1.7 million, which will not be utilized this fiscal year, the fund is now estimated to have a surplus at the end of the fiscal year of about $1.4 million. That would bring us to an ending fund balance of about $4 million in that fund. That concludes our presentation, and we'd be happy to answer any questions you may have. And if you could please speak loudly, it's actually a little bit difficult to hear up here. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Gomez. I appreciate that presentation. And I'd like to open the floor up to my colleagues on the commission here and let them ask any questions they may have.
On the federal grants, do we have any clear guidance on how that money can be spent and what the timing is to spend that money?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Beasley, yes, we do have some guidance on those funds. The timeline on the funds, I believe we have until, correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, December of 2024? December of 2024 to utilize those funds. So we do have a couple years to spend those funds. The overall general guidance that we've received thus far directs us to some areas of specific capital improvements, one being water infrastructure. I believe there are some IT improvements that have been pegged for that as well, fiber. Fiber has been noted as a allowable use. We are still finalizing the spending of those dollars. Dave can speak to that further if he would like, but it is looking like it'll primarily be lost revenue source, which is one area that we have calculated. We've been provided with guidance from GFOA to calculate our lost revenue due to COVID, and that revenue loss calculation, ARPA funds can be used towards that, and there really is no restriction on that portion. And then the remainder would most likely be capital improvements, water infrastructure, and that sort of thing, based on their allowable uses.
Okay. Other questions from members? Okay.
I can ask questions.
Oh, okay. That was raised. Yes,
okay.
I did have a question. Okay.
A couple quick questions. The first one was construction sales tax and license and permit revenues. Is that expected to continue? I think it's not. And so I guess my question would be, are we expecting a big drop off, or what's the general thought on that? Because that's a pretty big chunk of that category of revenue.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Silverson, we actually did budget a decline in construction sales taxes. I believe we budgeted about a 20% decline over last fiscal year. Right now, they're down, I think, just over 7%. So they're actually positive compared to budget, even though they are less than last fiscal year. Last fiscal year, as I've mentioned, is certainly an anomaly. And when talking about our residential activity particularly, I think we came in at, 498 single-family residential permits last fiscal year. We did not assume that again. Our budget this fiscal year is 275 permits. And so far through September, we are right on trend with that. In summary, I don't have any concerns about either of those two areas at this time.
then I had one more question about, let's see if I can read my writing. Golf utilities and maintenance was lower. I don't know what I was looking at. Let's see. Let's pull up the, I don't know if it was the community center one or the golf contractor, but I just noticed it was lower. I'm wondering if there's a reason for that.
Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Solverson, that is most certainly a result of the wet monsoon season that we had this fiscal year and
perfect
less
sense.
Water having
okay.
to be
yep.
utilized on the courses.
Yep, I didn't think about that, but your yep, that makes perfect sense. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I had a question. I have two questions. One is regarding the community center. Due to the fund, listed on your slide, it said that we were going to have four, the ending fund balance you were expecting for this fiscal year was going to be at $4 million. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Newell, let me flip to my attachment here real quick. Just make sure I'm speaking it to it correctly. Yes, we are projecting an ending fund balance of just over $4 million in the community center
okay.
fund.
What is the normal policy of reserve fund that we like to keep in our individual funds, because that seems high for the $4 million, would be a high number there above that normal reserve target, correct?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Newell, aside from our general fund, we don't have a specific reserve policy adopted for our other funds.
At what point would that reserve fund start to be identified for use for more capital to augment other parks and recreation spending?
Commissioner Newell, I may defer that question to our CFO to speak more to that.
Thank you for the question, Commissioner Newell. Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, we don't really have a specific target or a point in that we would identify those reserve dollars for capital funding. What I can say is it would certainly be need-based. And as you and the commission are well aware, we just issued $25 million in parks and rec bonds, and we do have the strong sense that that's not going to be adequate. And so we do have a lot of needs, and we would certainly look at some point, probably this upcoming budget season, look at tapping into those excess reserves if we identify those needs as we go through the engineering design process and we go through the process of actually bidding out these projects and awarding to contractors and get a sense for the estimated cost of what these some of these projects are going to run, then we could obviously at that point in time take a look at it. I would say my best guess right now is in the upcoming budget process we would probably take a look at that.
Thank you. I have one more line of questions. There's a couple places here where you are announcing budget variances for different things. I would like to know what the threshold is for you to announce a variance at this time in the budget season. It seems like you're giving variances for certainties, but you're not looking at trends or other things. And also, it seems like I'd like to know if those thresholds are different for possible negatives, like you're going to announce a possible negative earlier, so it's brought to the attention earlier, and maybe defer or be more hesitant to say this is a positive trend, it's going to affect a variance in a positive manner to the town later.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Newell, generally through at least the first 3 to 6 months of the fiscal year, we don't really land on a whole lot of variances quite yet. I think we generally prefer to have a few more months of actuals under our belt, especially when we're projecting such things as overages on revenues or savings. We just want to be a little more certain there. But if we know of something definite and absolute that we know with certainty is not going to occur, or, for example, the additional ARPA funds that we definitely know we will be receiving, we do go ahead and factor those in earlier as soon as we become aware of them. If there were, you know, larger variances that we were comfortable with, if our actuals were, you know, let's say on a particular revenue source where it was just, wow, you know, we really do know with a fairly strong comfort level that these are going to come in over budget, or we have, you know, a project on the expenditure side, whether it be O&M or capital, that we definitely know is not going to occur, we'll go ahead and feed that in, really regardless of the amount. But at this point, it would be more just areas that we're quite certain on this early on. When we work on our mid-year financials, for example, that's when we will really do our first deep dive into the numbers and really try to land on some more specific year-end estimates, really starting to factor in some of the vacancy savings that we may see on the personnel side and get a lot more granular at that point in time.
Thank you.
Ms. Gomez, let me a couple of thoughts along the discussion points that we've been discussing. Commissioner Noel brings up a couple of things and it kind of crossed my mind a little bit, and I don't think it has a yes or no answer to it, but let's go back to the expectation of $4 million in the community fund at the year end. And that's being created by the fact that we're not going to be putting out a year's worth of debt service for the bonds that were just recently included, which I think you said it was $1.7 million. The $1.7 million is still an obligation. Is it more timing, or is there actually just we over accounted for it, I guess is the best way to put it. There's no forgiveness there, I don't think. So even though we may have $4 million at the end of the year, the next year we'll have to pay out $1.7 million. Am I catching that?
Okay. Yes, Chair Latchford. It's really essentially just a timing. You know, when we prepared the budget amounts, we weren't positive on the debt service timeline, but did want to be conservative and assume a full debt service payment just in case. So it's really a timing more than anything. That payment will be due. The principal payment will be due July 1 of next fiscal year, with both interest payments as well due next fiscal year. So.
Okay. Good. So no windfall profit for us. Okay, I got it. The second point here, let's go back to the general fund just for a second. And I noticed that you did remark that there was a payroll that had to be accrued back to the prior year books. Do you know what the amount of that payroll was, roughly?
Gosh, Chair Latchford, that is a good question. If I had to make a rough estimate, I think in the general fund, our payrolls maybe run about a million each. That is a very, very rough figure, though. I can get a more finalized number to you if you'd like.
Okay, so it's fairly material. It's not something insurmountable. Because I noticed that the department expenditures in the general fund are quite low as compared to budget, across the board almost. And I was wondering, at the time I didn't focus on the move, the reaccrual of a payroll out of this year, but I was wondering if there was any impacts from the personnel vacancy standpoint, whether we were facing that issue across the board, if we know what our vacancy rate is for personnel in the organization.
Chair Latchford, right now it would really be more of just a closer scrubbing of the numbers that we'll be doing as we look at, for example, new positions that we had budgeted this fiscal year. We always assume to be conservative a July 1 start date generally. That oftentimes does not occur. You know, it takes a little bit of time to bring someone on board and have them start with the town and all that. And so that would be probably an area I would look at initially for some savings. Off the top of my head, I don't have any sizable variances for personnel kind of noted at this point in time. Once we get further through the fiscal year, for example, we did have three payrolls hit in October. And then obviously when we get to next June, we may even have three and then a little bit extra that we'll need to accrue back as well. So it's pretty typical for us to trend low through the fiscal year, especially at this point in time until we hit, for example, our first month where we have three payrolls. And then definitely after June of the next fiscal year when we'll be accruing that payroll back again.
I'm just talking to myself. Just, I'm just back to my leading question is, do we have vacancies going on in the organization that will have an impact on our financial status by the end of the year? And if we do, do we know how much that is? And if so, what actions are we taking to address that? And that's not necessarily a financial issue, but it is one that eventually hits us. And so that's kind of where I was leading with that.
Chair Latchford, I think probably one area that I can speak to, and Dave is welcome to chime in if he would like to, but one area that I know we've been struggling a bit with is our transit drivers. So we've been having some difficulty hiring drivers. I think essentially demographics-wise, they've tended to be retirees, kind of older men and women, and I know we've been looking at some of those difficulties with public works and weighing some opportunities at this point in time. That's really the only area that I'm aware of at this point that could potentially see a budget variance at year end. So we'll be scrubbing that and kind of looking into it a little further here as we go through the fiscal year. But that is one area that I'm aware of at this point in time.
All right. Well, that's as we've got right now. So let's kind of keep our eye on it, and if it continues, we'll bring our eyes up on it and see if there's anything that we can do with that. I also noted that the bipartisan infrastructure bill was signed just as I was driving up here. I heard that. And has there been any indication from anyone at the state as to what that might impact to cities and what they might be seeing out of that bill? Have we heard anything about that at all?
Chair Latchford, I have not at this point in time, unless Dave has.
Mr. Chair, members of the commission, I also have not seen anything definitive yet on that front. So I'm sure it's coming out, but it was a lengthy bill, went through a lot of political wrangling, et cetera. And I think it's just a little bit too early to understand the implications that it might have on the town.
Fair enough. We'll find out. So it did pass, and it is signed, and it's enacted. I think we've just about covered everything here. Does anyone else have any other questions? Yes.
One quick question. I know some of the drivers are having difficulty getting people to apply. Is this an issue for other parts of the town that has vacancies?
Chair Latchford, Commissioner Beasley, I'm not aware of any other areas that are having difficulty at this time.
Okay. In summary, it appears that we're on track. There doesn't appear to be anything worth noting here that needs to be addressed. Are there any concerns on the part of you, Wendy, or Dave, anything that we should be aware of economically, that could impact us down. What are you keeping your eyes on? Basically, is the question.
Mr. Chair, members of the commission, those items that I'm keeping my eye on are the same items that I've addressed at a prior meeting, inflation being one of them. That is certainly something that that is concerning to the town. It impacts the town in a number of different areas, whether it's fuel prices or the supplies of goods and services or capital projects. Those increases are a little concerning. I think from a revenue standpoint, I think everything looks pretty solid. The one thing that, and I think it was mentioned even earlier this evening, that I'm going to keep my eye on is single-family residential permits. I think the housing market is starting to slow down, and we're starting to see some of that. And so that's something that I just want to, track moving forward, make sure that we're still solid there. I think we did have a really good budget estimate. We kind of factored in, as Wendy did so mentioned so eloquently, we did factor that decrease in, but we want to make sure that it's not a complete flat line like we have seen with the Great Recession. So that's something that we'll keep our eye on as well. Other than that, supply chain issues, again, I think I mentioned that, certainly tied in with inflation, but just making sure that we can procure and get the items, the goods, services that we need, as there have been shortages and it sounds like there's going to continue to be shortages moving forward, especially as it relates to automobiles, et cetera. So we just want to ensure that we can get the stuff that we need to continue to provide the excellent level of services to our residents that they expect. So,
yeah, David, I do recall you mentioning inflation before, and it is worth keeping our eye on. I don't think it's transitory, but better minds than mine will figure that out. But you are convinced that we're moving on the right track with what we're doing. Okay, thanks for that. Wendy, I'm not going to let you off the hook. Anything concerning you? Or
Chair Latchford, I would echo Dave's thoughts and responses on that, just watching inflation and those impacts to town operations and town expenditures. That's my primary concern right now that I'm kind of keeping my eye on, but also the single-family residential permits as well. Just making sure that we're still trending there and adjusting should we need to.
Okay, thank you, Wendy, and I appreciate the presentation as usual.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you very much. If there's no other questions, we'll go ahead and move on to the agenda. Normally at this time we'll have a council liaison comments. First, just to assume, I believe there has been a change in who will be the council's liaison. And David, I think this is not fit for print, but I believe that there are going to be assigning, or actually has assigned, the mayor as our council liaison, to be confirmed. So the press calls you to deny anything. All right. And having said all of that, Allison, I'm presuming that council member Nicholson's not on the line.
No, he is not present.
Okay. All right, next on our agenda is future agenda items. Does any member of the commission have a future agenda item they'd like to bring? Okay, I hear none. Before we get into adjournment, just real quickly, I think our earlier action to cancel the December commission meeting just wiped out Commissioner Newell's last commission meeting. And I guess he thought I was going to forget about that.
No, I also note that I did not fail to notice that other agencies seem to have a celebration of outgoing members on their agenda. So I will have to pass and miss on that, as I'll be out of town as well on that December date. So.
Well, I just wanted to thank you for your service. You've been a real asset to us. It's been helpful. I'm sure the town appreciates it. We wish you well. And please come back and sit in the audience and throw things at us. So. With that said, why don't we move on to an adjournment? Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn. Second.
Second. All right. So we have a motion to adjourn from Commissioner Beasley and a second from Vice Chair Salveson. At this time, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. None opposed? We are adjourned as of this time.